Great. So welcome to the next stage of the Rakakobara. So now that the Chagim are over, I'd like to just to go through some of the general themes in Rav Kook's thought, each week being a different subset. But as part of theme number one, which is going to be Hitalut HaOlam, the general ascent of the world, which we spoke about when we did some passages from Orot HaTshuva, we're going to do an idea which Rav Tzvi Yehuda said was one of the introductory ideas to Rav Kook's thought. When he started teaching Rav Kook in Merkaz Harav to Shana Aleph students, he dealt with the idea we're going to discuss now, based from a different essay, the Malachi Deot B'Yisrael. That one goes on for like 20 pages. This one is 1.5 pages, so we're going to focus on this one. But something to know about Rav Kook is that he was very, very into history, in a way which previous Gedolim may not necessarily have been. If you go through the Rishonim, a lot of them have disparaging comments about the study of history. Sifri Melachim and Melucham Oseim is not necessarily something which you should be spending your time studying. It's not necessarily identical with the study of Jewish history, but there wasn't necessarily a intensive study of Jewish history going on. Rav Kook thought that the study of history was extremely important, and it makes sense with this notion of Hitalut HaOlam, the ascent of the world, because the world was created at point X, and the ultimate goal is to constantly go up and up and up and up and up to point Y, to the ultimate point of unity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to know that progression, because that progression, even the externalities of that progression, reflect Hashem's plan. And you have to know what happened, and different trends of what was going on, to be able to understand where you are, to be able to move forward. So I have two sources on the page. The first one is an essay in Zer Onim, which is a pamphlet he published when he was in the chief rabbi of Yafo, Chacham HaDafinafi. Describes the basic trajectories of Jewish history up until his point in time, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and then the beginning of Bayis Shlishi. So working from the beginning of history to the early 1900s to figure out what his tafkid was, what the tafkid of his door was. The second piece, if we get there, is working the other way. The need to look at Yemos HaMashiach, look at the end game, to be able to figure out what you have to do nowadays to be able to get to that end game. So looking at history from both sides, from beginning to where you are, from the end to where you are, to figure out what you have to do. So let's start with this first piece. Mr. Rav Kook says as follows: the Noach Shabbat Olam, in the regular way of the world, Hamishorim v'Hamalitzim, the poets and the writers, Mitarim Yafe as Hadras Achayim Bachlal, they describe very well the beauty of life in a general sense. As called Pinosea Hayafos, B'Yichud Hakolos Zera Merav V'Tal Achayim Ruba. The beautiful corners, and especially those that include a great wave of vitality of life. I'll explain in a second. Him yodim gam lahatzig the rose as a ki or a kali. They also know how to present to be so people could see the general ugliness. Shal kilkolim shebachayim of the ruination of the destruction of life, for the mchos negdam b'chol tokef, and to protest against them with all of their strength. So Rav Kook here is saying, what's the role of writers, of poets, of painters, of cultural people in society, people who have an imaginative faculty? Mm-hmm. So he says it's to point out the general things, point out the general beauty of the world. Let's say you wanted to describe to somebody the beauty of the amazingness, the feelings of courageousness, of nobility, of friendship, of loyalty. So one way to do it would be to give him Lord of the Rings, give him J.R.R. Tolkien, have him read it. These ideas, general ideas, emerge from the book. He's able to paint a picture with these types of relationships, these types of characters, such that you're able to connect with those ideas, with the general beauty of those values. In the opposite perspective, you have general ruination of the world. For example, let's say a totalitarian country is a bad place to live in. Great. So if you want to describe that, you want to connect with that, you want to tell somebody, I want to convince you that it's a bad place to live in, one way of doing it would be to give the guy George Orwell's 1984. He wrote a book describing, in a very general way, the evils of living in a totalitarian regime. So that's the role of the cultured people, the artists, the poets. But what don't those people do? But to pierce the innerness of all of the detailed factors, how these small details prepare life, ma'amidim osam, and place life, al basis hatov, on the good basis, ich mishamrim osam, mikol kakala, gam ktana shebektanos, and how these small details protect everything from any type of ruination, any type of destruction, Shesofal ha'alot sirton gadol v'aros harbeim ma'od, that any small ruination in the end is going to create a lot of destruction. Meaning the attention to details, doesn't have a connection to the hot imaginative faculty. But rather with precise wisdoms, with detailed wisdoms. Khan, over here, Tachel Avodah Sarofim, begins the work of the doctors, Achaskanim, Hamudadim, the measurers, Hashoftim, the judges, V'chol Achakamim Ma'asiyin, all the practical disciplines. So basically, if you want to, you need George Orwell to describe to you the evils of a totalitarian regime. But would you want George Orwell to then be the Secretary of State of America? To come up with a detailed plan how exactly to navigate the confrontation with the Soviet Union? The answer is probably not. That's not his training. It's not the way he thinks. He thinks in general senses, in beauty, in painting, in art, in literature. You need somebody who knows details, somebody who knows numbers, somebody who knows maps, to come up with a detailed plan. So you have these two different mindsets. You have the, what Cook calls, Chachmat HaMa'asim, the detailed, precise wisdoms, and the imaginative faculty, which expresses itself in art and culture and those things, which express things in a very general sense. More beautiful, but very general.
So yeah, and he says you need a combination of both of them.
Eventually that's going to be the synthesis. But so far he's just telling you the way society functions as he sees it.
You're either this or this.
This or that. And they have different, they're both necessary, but they both have different functions.
And they both exist.
And they both exist, exactly. How does this connect to Am Yisrael? Well, the Malam Yisrael, even higher than this. Who were the cultured people who were giving general passionate speeches, painting these beautiful pictures of beauty, or these horrible pictures of ruination in Klal Yisrael? Those were the Nevi'im, the prophets. Hanevuah rasa et zerem ha'kalkalah ha'gedolah sh'avodah zarah b'Yisrael. Prophecy, Nevuah saw the horrible stream, the horrible destruction of Avodah Zarah in Yisrael, and it protested against it with all of its force. What else did Nevuah see? It also saw the beauty, the pleasantness of Avodah Hashem, of our own God. And Nevuah describes the beauty of Avodah Hashem with all sorts of beauty and shining. Nevuah describes the destruction, the corruption, of all immorality, of oppressing the poor, retzach v'niyof, of murder and adultery, chamas v'shod, v'temalei ruach lokim lohoshia v'lidor b'rum siyakodesh. And Nevuah comes along and says, we are going to stop these things, we are going to make sure people are not immoral, people understand the beauty of the life of Avodas Hashem. What Rav Kook is pointing out is that if you go through Nach, as we know it, from Yehoshua until the end of Nach, what topics are discussed? During the prophetic period, by his Rishon, what topics were the Nevi'im talking about? They're talking about the general values of Judaism, the Klalim. They're talking about the beauty of Avodas Hashem, the beauty of Avodas Hashem, the beauty of Yiras Hashem, the beauty of understanding Yichud Hashem, what the world is going to look like at the last level, the great moral themes of Tzedek and Mishpat. And they're talking about the opposite. What happens when you worship Avodah Zarah? What happens when you're immoral? What happens when you're murdering people in the street? And they paint these beautiful pictures. And these beautiful pictures that they paint for us have inspired Western society for the past 4,000 years. Scriptures, Bible, is still the best-selling book of all time in history. These things are beautiful, they're passionate, they're charismatic, and they're very inspirational. What won't you find in Nevuah? You won't find halacha. What we do now, what we study nowadays in the base Hadarish, more or less. You won't find discussions of purity pratim of halacha. You won't find shor shenaka kasapara, who's going to be chayev and who's going to be pater. Rav Kook is pointing out that this discrepancy between tekufas haTanach, the prophetic period, and post tekufas haTanach, from Bayis Sheni and on, is not just random. For example, if you look at the Rambam in his introduction to Mishnah Torah, the sense you get, what he said, basically says explicitly, is that everybody from Yeshua ben Nun to Ravina and Ravashi were all trying to do exactly the same thing. There's one Shashalas and Masorah. You might have different types of writings for different types of people, but ultimately everybody's trying to do the same thing. Rav Kook is saying no. This idea of Hitalut HaOlam, that the world keeps on ascending, means that each generation or each time period has its own tafkid, has its own goals, has its own way of looking at the world, its own separate neshamos. Tekuva the Tanakh was the general time period. In other essays, Rav Kook adds on two other characteristics of Tekuva the Tanakh. Here he talks about the focus on the Klavan, the general principles of Yados. In the Malachi, he deals with Yisrael, another essay in Arod, which is around 20 pages long, where he goes through some of these ideas in more depth. There, Rav Kook focuses on the not the content of Judaism, but the subject of Judaism. Who is Hashem speaking with? He says, in Tanakh, think about Skar Ba'unesh. What types of rewards and punishments are described in Tanakh? If you do a mitzvah, what's going to happen? If I ask a Jew on the street, I ask my 3-year-old daughter, she doesn't know things yet. If you ask a 10-year-old boy in yeshiva, if you do mitzvahs, what's the reward? Olam haba. Mm-hmm. Why does he say that? It's the Mishnah of Perkei Avos. There's going to be Olam haba. If you read Chumash, just read Chumash, what does it say? If you do mitzvahs, what's the reward going to be?
Rain.
It's going to be rain. It's going to be bounty. It's going to be peace. There's going to be Hashem Shekhinah is going to be shown in Eretz Yisrael. Almost every single reward in Chumash and subsequently in Nach is for the nation as a whole. If you do Averos, what's going to happen? Galus, drought, war, things for the nation as a whole. The subject of Judaism, as per Tanakh, as per Nach, is Am Yisrael as a whole. Go to Mishnayos and Gemara. Who are the Mishnayos and Gemara speaking to? Talking to the Prat, to the Yachid. In what sense? You, the Yachid, have certain halachic obligations, you have to keep them. There are certain mitzvahs, kolios, for the tzibor that are also discussed. But the thrust of Mishnah halacha is individual practice. I have a chiyuv to do X, Y, and Z in the morning. Halacha is telling me, as an individual, I have to do that.
Right.
So Rav Kook, we're going to see, this is all, not necessarily, didn't start in Bava, it actually started in Eretz Yisrael. But it started in Eretz Yisrael post the Kufas Nevuah, when the winds of the world were changing. So that's two discrepancies. Here it talks about the content of Yatos, Klalim versus Pratim, and that the other essay, the Malachi, deal with Yisrael, he talks about the subject of Judaism, Am Yisrael versus the individual person. The third essay, in the first essay in Ma'amarei HaRu'iyah, Derech HaTchiyah, which is also a very fundamental essay, there he has a different dichotomy, Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. There he talks about two different types of Ruchniyot. He talks about Hazaram HaPsichi Shel Ruchniyot, the psychic current of spirituality, and versus what he calls academic spirituality, which was the focus of Bayis Sheni. Kook says, he doesn't say this in so many words, but what he means is that if you read through Tanakh, you have Hashem speaking to people. And you get the impression that these people walked around the world tangibly feeling Hashem's presence. You walked into the Beis HaMikdash, you saw Hashem. Eliyahu Navi was walking around, he was performing miracles, he was performing miracles here and there. David HaMelech was in the desert, he has a real tzima'on l'kel chai, he has a thirst for Hashem. There's something tangible, something palpable that exists in Tanakh. But we don't find people in Tanakh necessarily studying Gemara, studying text. We don't find Batei Medrash popping up all over Tanakh. Chazal say that people were learning Torah. The very fact that in Tanakh itself doesn't mention that shows that it wasn't necessarily the essence of that tekufa. We find people connecting with Hashem experientially. Mm-hmm. Mishnayos and Gemara, Rav Kook says, you do find that. You find people connecting with Hashem experientially, but it doesn't seem to be the thrust. The thrust is connecting with Hashem through what? Academic spirituality, he says, through learning, through the mind, through cognition, through practice, through things which are much more formal. And you see the flow from Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni. I mean, all the Mishnayos and Gemaras that we know of start in Bayis Sheni. The first Mishnah of Perkei Avos says, right, you have Moshe, Yeshua, Zakenim, Nevi'im, Anshekinez Tavidola. Here's what Anshekinez Tavidola said. They start the Shashalas and Mesora of Torah Shabbat Peh as we know it. And of course, saying this is, it's not just random, these are three major differences we find between Tekufas HaTanach and Tekufas Bayis Sheni. So here Rav Kook says, so Nevi'im are able to paint this beautiful picture about the general values of Yados. What don't Nevi'im see? That's the next paragraph. Hasa'aros hadakos, these small thin hairs. Shemehen mitztarfos avos egla shel chatas, that from them combine thick calves of sin. So it's a phrase. Gidei hachayim adakim, the small sinews of life. Shemehen yisurgu, that from them are woven. Mizrukei hadam hagedolim, the large vats of blood. Meaning things that start off being small, but end up over the course of time, end up being big. Ila hema amistarim hatzfunim Me'in kol navi v'kol zeh. These things are hidden from the eye of the Navi. Hamitzvos ha-ma'asiyos, kulan, the practical mitzvos, with pirtei ha-hosaya and the details of the halachos, b'chol diukam ha-nimratz, with all their intensive, you know, detail, precision. Eich b'hemshech ha-zman, how through the duration of time, ayidei kiyumam v'talmudam, through keeping these practical, detailed-oriented mitzvos, and learning about these mitzvos, hergilam l'chivatam, being accustomed to doing these mitzvos, making them the way of your life, and loving these mitzvos, how through these things, yitzei hanoam ha-pinimi, ha-chavoy bahem, the beautiful pleasantness that's hidden in these mitzvos, and these details, is going to emerge. That the Navi didn't see. And he's not blaming the Navi, he's just saying that's not the koach ha-nevuah. V'zerem ha-chayim elokia tahor, nigareish be'uzel, es kashkat avodat lilim, and how, once the mitzvos have become the way of life, this wave of life, wave of pure divinity, will be able to chase away Avodah Zarah. Mibli tuchal olkom, without Avodah Zarah being able to live, to function anymore. V'eich ha'aziva ha'itit, ha'mezalzalat b'ma'asim, and how this small, very slow-paced, leaving of the details, which disgraces the details, degrades the details, I'm sorry, panafim v'diyukim, through all the branches and their precision, nifatachas derek shalharis, how abandoning small details is going to end up developing into very large paths of destruction. Me'abedes esakelim, shebehem yikaleit ruach ha'elyon, because you're going to lose the vessels, you're not going to have a context, a framework, through which to get all of those great oros, all of those great columns. U'memela, and once you don't have that detailed framework, Yitzer Leif Adam, a person's Yitzhara, Hatimyono Matah Maleti Tse Zorom Yelachot Zavarak Ram Yivnem, that Koach Hanem Dehamadame, which could imagine the great and beautiful world, the utopia that the Nevi'im imagined, how that's going to lead you to something that's shining on the outside, but full of poison on the inside. Hu Holek Volem Yelav, that poison is going to come up on its own. Davar Zeh, all this thing, the connection between the Pratim and the Klalim, how these Pratim lead you to actually be able to live by the Klalim, lo nitan nevuah b'chlal, was not given over to nevuah at all. L'nevuah sh'asparklaya she'en emira, to nevuah of the lower level. But the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu had a sparklaya emira, he had the highest level of nevuah, the other Nevi'im had a sparklaya she'en emira, they had a lower level of nevuah. But what's unique about Chumash, which Rav Kook is about to point out, which is going to come up again at the end of the essay, Chumash, thinking about these things, about the Kalam and the Pratim, so we have Sifrei Nevuah, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, beautiful, inspirational, passionate Kalam, Mishnayos, Gemara, detailed halachos for the individual person. Which book in our canon has both?
Chumash.
Chumash integrates detailed halachos with beautiful general principles. Chumash is the only sefer that we have in Tanakh which does that. Why is Chumash able to do that? Because Chumash is coming from Asbaklah Yarmir, it's coming from the highest point. Once you get to the highest point, to the highest level of Nevuah, you see how all the Pratim and the Klalim feed into each other. We're going to see that you can't have the Klalim without a detailed framework for how to live your life in a very, very detailed and practical oriented way. Let's read that inside. So far, so good. Amnam, nitan nevuah sosha Moshe, usa nevuah shel pal pa, nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, face to face, ashas pakaya meira, shirak he hold their os uzam shel kalim v'dekun usam shel pratim kiyakad. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to see the general principles and the detailed precision at the same time. Avolokam kamo, there was never again a navi like him. Avolokam navi od b'Yisrael kemoshe, shigido Hashem panim al panim. Post Moshe Rabbeinu, we have the split. The Nevi'im have the Klalim, the Chachamim, the Tanayim and Amorayim, and lead up to me, the Chachamim have the Pratim. Great. So what happened? So the Nevi'im, well, they had these amazing inspirational speeches. Did the enterprise in Nevuah, did it fail or did it succeed? So one hand, it succeeded because we have the Sifrei Nevuah that still inspire us. But on the other hand, practically, the entire enterprise of the Nevi'im utterly failed. Within several hundred years, people were violating all of the kolim that they were speaking about. They're speaking about Avodah Zarah, about morality, about Abba Hashem, the Yirat Hashem. Read Sefer Yirmiyahu, what's happening at the time of the destruction of Eis Rishon. They're failing everywhere, every single one of those categories. The Nevi'im themselves utterly failed in their own enterprise.
Is he blaming them at all for that?
So he's not. He doesn't talk about blame. Yeah. It just wasn't something they were able to basic based on their level, based on the tekufa they were living in.
Is that orbly kli?
I'm sorry.
It's orbly kli.
Orbly kli, exactly.
So it's more of like just the door that they're living in.
Yeah, Rav Kook is describing the process. I don't think he's necessarily blaming anybody.
Right.
In the end, he's going to end up blaming people in his generation for not realizing another shift that's supposed to be happening.
Right.
But I don't know.
It almost seems like it's happened, like, there's no reason to blame because it happened before, meaning happened in the time of other nation, happened in the time of Noah, happened, it's something that keeps happening, it's or either too much or, not enough clean, not enough, you know, too much clean, not enough or, recognizing obviously the place where it is, but I think that's just, in my small mindedness of thinking about it in or in clean terms.
No, I think those are exactly, he doesn't use the word kli over here, but what he talks about is a detailed framework for how to live your life based on the kolim. So that's or and kli in other svarim.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that there's going back and forth even within Chumash itself?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not me.
Right. Because I thought like if it's just kli and then meaning is Rav Kook saying the first time it becomes prati? That's during the time of the Mishnah, or you're saying maybe there was already like.
I'm not sure. He doesn't detail for us his view of Bais Rishon so much, if I understand correctly. In some of the other essays, when we're going to see the Bais Sheni era, he goes through in more detail with like ups and downs within the Bais Sheni and the Long Galus. So the Anshei Knesset Gedolah come back. Bais Rishon failed, they go into Galus, they come back. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah see the Nevuah is waning. Nevi'im are dying and no new Nevi'im are coming up. They see the winds of the world are shifting. Spiritually, something is happening in the world, things are moving away. Mm-hmm. In the non-Jewish world, things are moving from Kishuf to like to Greek logic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shift that's happening. So what do?
Mm-hmm.
They shift Yadus. They shift the focus of Yadus from the Klalim. They saw that what a focus on the Klalim was doing. They saw the Nevuah was on its way out. What do? They said, let's be marba Torah Shemapeh, let's be marba halakha to the nth degree. Let us create the framework, focus on the pratim, focus on the individual people, focus on academic spirituality, to create a framework to keep the Yadus alive, in a way that the Nevi'im weren't able to. Let's read it inside.
So now what you said, the Gemara in Sota, I think it was Sota, where the Shech, the fiery lion that comes out of the Kodesh Dashim, right? Probably when you read that Gemara now, you can just
so I think
so much more than
I think Rav Kook references the Gemara about Anshei Knesset Gedolah shechting the Yitzhahara and the other essay of Malach Adil Israel. I mean, this shift from Avodah Zarah to Kfira, Rav Kook says, is part of this. Avodah Zarah is all about Koach HaMadam, it's passion, you're charismatic, you're drawn to Avodah Zarah. The Kfira by Sheni was Greek logic, was Greek philosophy. It's one of the Kfiras. So you're moving from passion, charisma, to logical problems with the others. It's part of the shift in terms of the winds of the world. Chacham Adav Inavi. Mashlo Asar Nevua, B'Kli Mechamta, HaKotzvim, Lavos Eish, V'Lahar Miyisriya, Avodah Salidim, Nasharish Acharei Yikari HaShiflus, Hayusir Gurus, Hoshek V'Hamas, Shiratzak V'Zina, V'Difat Shachar V'Shalmanim. What the Nevi'im were unable to do, to uproot all these bad things from Yadas, Asu HaKachamim, Parchav HaSatorah. That's what the Chazal were able to do through expanding the Torah. V'amadas Talmidim Harbe, through setting up many Talmidim, v'shinun achukim ha'pratim atodoseyem, and learning the details. Halikos olam lo, atikor halikos ala halakos. Again, halikos in the sense of way of life. Chazal give you a detailed framework of how to live your life almost every second of the day. More than the Jews kept Shabbos, Shabbos kept the Jews. That kept Judaism alive. And it worked over the course of millennium. I mean, I think most Jewish people are very nice people. We're raised in certain values of chesed, of ahava, of morality, of connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's all because we have this detailed framework to get us through that. Detailed framework, which says elsewhere, focused on the individual, like Medicine says in Malachi, Dope, Israel, and focused on learning. Learning keeps somebody in line. But what happens over the course of the Vilongalos, talking about a 3,000-year period now, by Sheni through the 1800s, the pendulum swung too much in that direction. Which will be the next paragraph. Meshach Hazman, Harav, through the duration of the long time, Nisgaber Esek HaChamim al Esek HaNaviyah. The HaChamim sort of became stronger than the Nevi'im. And people stopped focusing on what the Nevi'im were talking about. But Nevu'ah Nistapa, Nevu'ah went away. Arka HaYamim, here's the key line, the days became long, V'klala Mechilu L'srofeh, the general principles of Yadus began to weaken. Nivlu ba'pratim, they got swallowed up by the details. Vlo yirahutza, they were unable to be seen on the outside. Now, Cook says the situation he has in the late 1800s, early 1900s, was the result of both the success and the too much success of the enterprise of Chazal. This is the way he's putting it.
Does he mean like the fact that people are only learning Gemara and not Navi?
Exactly. In the sense that for 2,000 years that was great. People needed their focus of their Avodas Hashem to be, again, he's talking in very general terms. Other essays he gives you more deviation. But in very general terms, people needed detailed, oriented Avodas Hashem for the individual, which was centered around learning. That was the Yadus as we knew it from times of Chazal, through the Rishonim, through the early Akronim. But what happened? It became dry. People forgot there were general values. People didn't focus on Am Yisrael as a whole. People didn't focus on experiential spirituality, just feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those things about Tekuvas and Nevuah were lost.
Is he saying that even about the Manhigei Ador? Because like some of the Achronim, like you could see they're holding in Tanakh. Like Rashi is quoting it.
But I think they're using it in the way to as a halachic way. Meaning, how does that apply? How does that apply in like the Prat?
It could be. I think Rav Kook is talking about an entire time period. So you definitely have exceptions.
Right.
I mean, you definitely have exceptions. But the time period as a whole, the yeshiva curriculum, and what the rabbis were telling their people to do, they weren't giving drashos based on Yishayel, Yimei, Yichaskel. They were giving speeches in their shul based on halachos. And Rav Kook said that was fine for many hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of years. What happened in the 1800s? The enterprise, the framework began to fail because there were so many Jewish people who were leaving Judaism. Mm-hmm. Something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's read on. Okay, therefore, ba'akar sayamim, in the end of times, should smichas malak shivas or nevuah tekila taskil hofia, the light of prophecy will once again begin to reappear. Eshpokas ruchi al kol basar, pasuk in Yoah, Hashem says, I will pour my spirit on all people. Us, what's going to happen? Sinas hapratim titgaber. Hatred of the details is going to intensify. This is the Gemara in Sota. Chokma sofrim tesrach, anshei ha-gvul, ilot minichamim, shemasimim gvul devrayim, yelcham yil la'ir v'lo yichonanu. The Gemara says, v'ikvas at mashicha, people are going to hate talmidei chachamim. People are going to hate details. Why? Because Hashem, he explains in other essays, this is in Mamar Hadar also, it fits into the general framework, different neshamos are coming down into the world now. Hashem said, Bayish Rishon, focus on what Bayish Rishon focused on. Bayish Inin and Nagalas focused on what they focused on. But now, we're having neshamos being put into the world that need some elements of Bayish Rishon to be more emphasized than they have been for the past 2,000 years. We need to focus on the Kala, we need to focus on Am Yisrael as a whole. We need to focus on the world as a whole. We need to think in more general terms. We need to focus on spirituality in the sense of experiencing and feeling a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because that wasn't happening, people of those neshamos were leaving Judaism in the droves. All of a sudden, people became interested in all these idealism, communism, socialism, liberalism, ways to create a utopian world. Why? Cook says, because there's a different neshamos in the world nowadays, Hashem wants us to start thinking about things in more general terms. But not to completely go back to Bayis Rishon, to synthesize Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and thereby create the perfect Bayis Shlishi. Let's read on. Add to what's going to happen, Asher lo kifri boser, not like unripened fruit, kim kivi kuhurim erleim, tal v'chayim, but like full fruit, yitzu hanitzotzo shal skalas ornevo minartikam, the beginning of the Light of Prophecy is going to emerge from its case. Vizu, meaning the fact that people care about all these things, is an indication that the Light of Prophecy is coming back. But it's not full back yet, because these people are hating the prophet. Vizu, in the real revelation of prophecy again, Takir Bechlala is going to Pula Zachakma. It's going to recognize the beauty, the amazing work of Chachma, the Chachamim, of Chazal, of Pratim, of Halacha, a focus on the individual person and on plain learning Torah. V'an Vasedek Tekran is going to call out, and in humility, Chakam Adafi Navid. V'an Vasra, the sage is better than the prophet. Chesed V'emes Tefkashu, Tzadik Mashalim Neshako, Emes V'eretz Tismach, Tzadik Mashalim Teshkaf, Gamashin Yitena Tov, Ma'atzinu Titen Yivula. Chesed V'emes Tefkashu, Chesed Nivua, Emes Torah, are going to touch, Tzadik Mashalim Neshako. What's going to happen in the end of time? It's the last line. Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who met the beginning of the process, who was able to be Bechaber, the column and the prophet, in Chumash, that's what we need to build by Yishlishi. So this piece and the other two essays of Rav Kook has, which follow very, very similar lines, that nowadays people only care about people are beginning to only care about Am Yisrael and forget, reject the Galus, reject what happened in the Galus. I mean, he was dealing with these people who were full of idealism. They cared about Am Yisrael. They cared about general universal values. But they were rejecting what happened in Judaism in the past 2,000 years. Chuk was saying, don't skip mitanach ar palmach and then try to create a new Jewish state based on Tanakh. There was so much that happened in between. The Nevuah failed on its own. Nevuah needs Isek HaChachma, Isek HaPratim to be able to fully express itself. But only focusing on the Pratim is going to lead all these people off the Derech. Because now is the time to begin to show how the Pratim lead to the Kalim. Focus on the individual is going to eventually lead to focusing on Am Yisrael in the proper way. Focusing on learning Torah in a cerebral way is going to lead to real experiential spirituality. And this piece really contextualizes what Rav Kook thought his program was, which was to bring back some elements of Yadus, of Bayis Rishon, bring back some elements of Nevuah, some things he describes in that were occurring in Bayis Rishon, but slowly, in a responsible way, in a way which shows how they are perfectly in line with the Pratim, what we gained over the long Galus, and how only together we can actually build Bayis Shlishi and create the society that the Torah wants us to create. So, that's what Rav Yehuda said. These pieces sort of give you a basic framework of what Rav Kook was trying to do.
You feel that, I personally feel this in my life.
Yeah.
The struggle between Klal and Prat and Klal. Obviously, how we're brought up, I feel we're more brought up as more of Prat oriented, and then you start to see there's a lot more Klal about obviously being Klal. And the Shabbos is, for example, Klal Shabbos, and then Prat, all the things we. In the yeshiva that they teach us.
When I read Malachi Deal B'Yisrael first, I remember when I read it, it was in Gush, a Friday night, after I came back from the meal, my Israeli roommate had an Arutz, so I picked it up, I read it. I didn't fully understand it, but I got the general gist of what was going on in terms of this trajectory. They say it's Hegelian, and you have a synthesis, antithesis, and then there's a synthesis, and then the two things are supposed to come together, and that's how history progresses. That's what this is. I was blown away by it because it explains so much about the differences between Tanakh and Halakha, between Agadata and Halakha, between Kabbalah and Halakha, and they were just different. I mean, you read Tanakh, you get a very different sense of Judaism than if you read Mishnayos and Gemara.
Right. So Chumash is a synthesis. Moshe is a synthesis of the two.
And for a cook, a lot of for now and nowadays we don't have Nevuah, a lot of the Kalim get expressed through Kabbalah. That's what he says. Kabbalah is the heir of Nevuah. So one of our cook's programs which we're going to discuss is to take some of the yisodos of Kabbalah and spread them. Explain how they affect your life, daily life, and how they affect your avodas Hashem, and have it actually affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. As opposed to Kabbalah being some type of esoteric doctrine, which only the Tzaddiki Elyonim is supposed to do in ivory towers. Not to say anything bad about them, Chas Shalom, but it's supposed to be now something for the masses to live our lives based on, was the Kalim of Nevuah, which got transferred into Kabbalah, are supposed to become more of the... supposed to be open to everybody, because we all need these things, as Mama said.
Wow. Why is just having a column not enough? This man is
Because what happened in Bias Rishon is that if you only focus on the column, mm-hmm. and there's no framework for which the column to be expressed. So eventually, people are going to start, people will go to shul, they start hearing about morality, about connection to Hashem. Great. Somebody's going to one day show up to shul late. He's going to one day tie his right shoe before his left shoe. Great, he's still connecting with Hashem and everything.
Okay.
His child is going to not only start tying his right shoe before his left shoe, he's going to put on his left shoe before his right shoe. His child is going to stop wearing tzitzis. His child is going to stop keeping kosher. Over the course of centuries, there's no framework to be able to live your life around, and then eventually everything is going to be washed away.
So the same thing could be said of the person who only focuses on the pratim?
People who only focus on the pratim, Rav Kook says, are going to stay within the framework, but it's going to be very dry.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be lacking...
But generation after generation will still be...
So we're keeping things. That's why Chacham Adav Minavi, because the Chachamim created a framework to keep things alive, but the Nevi'im did not. But, and that's what Rav Kook says, the problem is nowadays. The problem is things...
Right.
We're focusing too much on the Pratim, we're too much in that thing. We have to bring back the Kolim without losing sight of the Pratim.
People need the taste nowadays.
That's what exactly he says in Mamar Hadar. These people are rejecting Judaism not because they have lower neshamos, because they have higher neshamos.
Right.
And we have to show them how the way to attain what their neshamos want is through traditional Judaism, just explained in the proper context. And that's exactly what he says in Mamar Hadar.
It's crazy, like, just for our, like, I guess how we can see this, like, how we're living at that time. Like, we've seen the change from our parents' generation, not only the same year in general, from our parents, the way they grew up learning, the way that what we know.
Right. I think the world, I mean, if it's, the change started in Eretz Yisrael, partially because of Rav Kook, and I think we're seeing with Ne'aneinu that it's spreading to America. I think Moshe Weinberger is the best example that it's spreading.
Just thinking
America.
That.
It's like
in NYU.
In my our parents' generation, I don't think he would have had a shul. I mean, like,
No, I'm saying, let's say you go to, I'm just thinking of like libraries in general. You go to our parents' libraries of Sfarim, it's not the same. The libraries have changed completely, in my opinion. Yes, you'll always, everyone will still have the Gemaras and whatnot, but. What we want is so much greater. Well, not greater, it's vaster,
broader.
It's different, broader. The flavor that our, and like, you could, it's just crazy how you can see, I can even see in the past like 10 years even, just the change of kids, you know, what they really want. But it makes sense in the time if you know how to.
Yeah. And you see how this idea is connected with this view of Hetalot Ha'olam. Because everything is constantly changing, different generations have different tafkidim. And you have to know the path of your generation to be able to properly guide it and properly learn.
So, not believing in Yerida Sadoros.